Alright, so welcome everybody. Today I'm gonna take you in a journey from the mobile world into the backend world with Kotlin and Kator. And I'm Marco, and during the day I'm an Android engineer, and today I'm going to talk about backend. No, I'm not crazy, but sometimes it's useful to know something about backend and maybe to start messing and try it out. I'm not saying that you have to in order to be a mobile engineer, but sometimes it could be useful. So for example, you are working on a side project and you don't want to use backend as a service. So for example, Firebase. So if you know to mess and write some backend stuff, you can even start a little service for your side project. That will be not a super full-fledged backend, but it will work for your use case. Then, if you know something about the backend, you can understand how things work on the other side. And in this way, you can be more conscious of the stuff that you need and the stuff that you're going to ask to your teammates. And if you know how things work a bit, then maybe you can even help your teammates if there is a certain situation. You can understand the problems, you can understand the strength, and you can decide for a better feature, for example. And or you can even find yourself in a situation where there is not so much people available for building a backend, and you have to start and do it by yourself. And for example, maybe you are in a startup. There is no there is not so many developers at the moment, and you need to start a new project to try it out. And yeah, this is the exact same situation where I found myself. And so in my previous job, I find myself in the situation of of building a new backend from scratch, because we had to build that for a feature, and I decided to do it even if my background was full mobile. So in order to build it, I look around, and I decided to build it with Kator. Why Kator? Well, first of all, it's because it's built with Kotlin, and Kotlin is a language that I love. So yeah, this is one reason for that, but not the only one. Another interesting things about Kator is the fact that it is lightweight and flexible, so you can just plug and use the stuff that you need. You don't have to import everything and use a little bit, but you can just import what you need, and this is a really good thing. Then you can use coroutines for handling asynchronous code, and like you can do on Android, and this is pretty much a good thing, because yeah, if you are used to coroutine, it is very good to apply the same thing here. And finally, Kator is unopinionated, like Android, and this could be something marginal, but instead it's a very important thing in my situation, because if something is unopinionated, then you can use whatever thing you are most comfortable with. So for example, you can choose whatever software architecture you want to use. You can use whatever pattern you want. And in this way, you can easily move your knowledge from a field, from a domain to another. So, for example, you can adapt what you already know for Android, and then move it on the backend. So let's start to figure out how to transfer this knowledge. And before moving on, a quick note. This talk, in this talk, I will not go deeper into Kator features and Kator details. There are a lot of resources already out there, but in this talk, I want to give you an high-level overview of how you can move your knowledge. All right, so let's start with architecture, as I said. And on Android, usually we have an application class that is that launches the application, and then we have a bunch of activity fragments, or now composable functions. But yeah, the concept is the same. Then usually we have a view model for prepare and handling the data to show and to show to the user. Then we move down to our domain. So probably so there will be a repository where we manage data, and maybe here before repository you could have a use case layer, but let's keep it simple for this case and just assume that there is only a repository. And then finally, at the bottom of the layer, there is the source of the data that we are gonna show. So for example, a local data source from a database, from a simple text file in the memory, or a remote data source from a network. And yeah, this is basically how the majority of Android apps looks like. On Kator, instead, we still have an application that it's not a class, but it is a function, but we will see it later. So we still have a place where we can instantiate stuff. Then in this case, we don't have we don't have activities, we don't have fragment, because in a backend we are not showing UI, but instead we are exposing endpoints. So we will have a point where we place our and we expose our endpoint. And again, this place doesn't have a name because there is not an opinion about that, and you can call it in whatever manner you want. So you can call it resource, you can call it controller, you can call it whatever you want. Down to the layer, again, we have the repository where we gather and manipulates the data in our domain, and then in the bottom layer there are the data sources. As you can see, the structure is pretty similar, and we can abstract it in a more abstract way. And so there will be an application layer where stuff are initialized. Then there is a presentation layer where we expose what we need to expose. Then there will be a domain layer where we manipulates the data. And then a data layer where we retrieve the data. So on Android, the application is simply a class with an onCreate method, and in here we initialize a lot of stuff, usually. On Kator, instead, as I said before, there is not a class, but there is a function, and there is the module function that is called every time we start the backend. And in here we are installing the plugin, so we are defining the feature that we want. And on Kator, the feature are represented by a plugin. And so we can install what we need. If we want login, if we want content negotiation, if we want GraphQL, we can initialize it. And this is very, very customizable, and there is no plugin activated by default. We just declare what we want. And yeah, we can decide and add plugin easily by using the IntelliJ wizard. All right, so now let's move down to the layer. We are in the presentation layer, we are showing stuff. And so on Android, we are showing a piece of UI that we have declared in an XML. On Kator, instead, we are just exposing endpoints. So in this case, we are exposing a get method and a post method. So not buttons, widget, text view, but endpoints. All right, so now let's go down. And in the domain layer, for example, we are not doing basically, in the domain layer, it's the same in both the situation. We are just manipulating data that comes from the data source and we are sending them in the upper layer. And finally, the data layer where we retrieve the data. So for example, on Android, we can retrieve them from the database. So for example, we can use Room to get it. In order to do that, we have to define a data class that represents our table. Then we have to create an interface that basically are the queries that we want to create. And then we can create the database and use it in our file. On Kator, instead, we can use Expose, that it's an ORM that is developed by JetBrains. And basically, it's a type-safe SQL wrapper. And it's a DSL that we can use to call SQL. And it's really nice, and because we can avoid some SQL mistakes that probably we are gonna do. So again, here, like in Room, we have to define a representation of the table. Then we have to define a data access object, and then we can use some functions and extension function to actually run queries. So in this case, we are selecting all and then returning the data as a list. There are plenty of supported functions for common SQL use case. And you can do very complicated stuff. For example, join, ordering, limiting. For example, this is a real query that I wrote, and yeah, it's very nice to use. All right, next topic is dependency injection. That is really useful in every project. And on Kator, we can use Coin. Because Coin provides support for Kator with a plugin basically, and on Android we have to use Coin. We have to declare our dependency in a Coin module, and then we have to start Coin in the application. And then we can retrieve the dependency with the delegate to get the dependency and use it. On Kator, the exact same thing. We have to define the dependency inside a module. We have to initialize Coin in the module function. So in this case, we are installing a plugin because a feature in the Kator world is a plugin. And then we can retrieve the dependency with the delegate again, like we were doing in a fragment or in activity. So again, the knowledge is perfectly moved from the mobile to the backend world. Another important thing is logging, because without logging, we can debug things. So on Android, usually we use Timber, that is a sort of wrapper on the local on the on logging, and we can initialize it in the application class, and then there is different level of logging. On Kator, instead, there is the simple login facade for Java. It's really hard every time to say it. And yeah, this library is automatically added when you create a new Kator project. And basically, Kator creates a logger automatically for us that can be accessed and used in the application scope or where you define a network call. If you want to use the logger in other classes, you need to retrieve it by providing the class to the logger factory. And since or if you are lazy like me, you can create this kind of helper function to just write get logger and have your logger. And with your logger instance, you can use different level of logging that are usually the same more or less, and send your log. The customization here is more difficult with respect on Android because you can modify the logger inside an XML file, so a bit messy, let's say, but yeah. And so in this file you can define the destination of the logger, you can define the level for different class and lot of things. All right, another topic to cover in most of the project are secrets. And yeah, there always be a secrets to handle. We always use API key for different service, so we need to store them in some way. So on Android, usually we put it in the local.properties if they are not so secure, let's say. And we put in them, and then we can retrieve them and put them in a build config field that can be retrieved during runtime and provided to whatever class we want. On Kator, instead, there is a configuration file that it's automatically generated, and we can use it for also for putting our stuff in it. And so, for example, here I created two blocks basically for one called server and one called database where I put custom stuff that I need. And this file is a OCOM file and it's very similar to a JSON, but yeah, it's pretty easy to edit. And then I created a representation of the block as a data class, and then with a wrapper class, and then there is a wrapper class called appconfig that contains all the different blocks. So in this case, during initialization, I can get the data from the configuration file, save it inside the Kotlin, and then inside the code, sorry, and then use it whenever I need. And also this configuration file can be provided at runtime, so not inside, so by default is inside the resources, but for example you can store it in a folder in your machine, so it's more secure, and then you can provide it to with the command line option. All right, so we are getting to the end of the journey. So before deploying, there is testing, and for testing, basically the unit testing side is the same because we are doing just regular Kotlin unit tests that are the same on Android and iOS. And instead, for integration test, on Kator, there is the possibility to use the test engine that basically is an engine that Kator provides to avoid spinning up a full-fledged web server. So basically for doing integration tests, this engine mimics the web server but without the complexity of web server. So it hooks into the internals of Kator and does the magic, and you can have a quicker test rather than having a full web server. So after testing, it's finally time to deploy. And on Android, we usually deploy an AAR if we are building a library, or we can or we ship an APK or AAB for just a regular application. And to build them, there are two related tasks that we can usually call, that is assemble release and bundle release. On Kator, instead, there are different ways to deploy stuff, again, because it's unopinionated. And what I've used is the fat jar, that is a jar that contains all the dependency. And to build a fat jar, you need a plugin that that has to be declared inside the build.gradle file. And then you need to provide the main class to it, so it recognizes what is the main class. And the main class that you are providing is the same that is already defined in your build.gradle file when you create a new project. Okay, now you can create the fat jar with the shadow jar command, and the fat jar is generated and it's ready to be used. And you can deploy it to Google Cloud, AWS, your local machine, your Raspberry, your whatever place that you are using for hosting the server. And yeah, that's it. We are we have reached the end of our journey. So basically, we have seen that Kator is really flexible and unopinionated. And so in this way, it enables knowledge transfer. So you can, for example, adapt your mobile knowledge and change it a bit and move it to the backend. Of course, this is not enough for building a scalable and bulletproof backend. And for example, for me, the effective side of scaling and deploying was hard, and I asked, of course, for help. But beside that, it was a really nice experience for me. And also because going to the other side or trying new things always enrich your experience. And it's something that if you want to do it, I really suggest to do it, because yeah, it's you can always find new things that you cannot find if you do the same things during every time. Okay, the code that you have seen during the talk is taken from a sample that I wrote that is on my GitHub, and these are some references that I've used for building this talk. And yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you very much for following me. And yeah, if you have any kind of question, I'm here to answer. And yeah, here in the chat, or if you don't make it, you can always reach me out on Twitter. I'm always happy to answer to questions. So thank you and see ya.
Still see the thank you slide, but this is fine. So let's see. Let's wait until we switch over. Should be fine in a few seconds. Come on. I will give you the question already. It's from our Nick. Do you have experience using Kator on Android applications, and how does it compare to Retrofit?
Okay, so to be honest, I always been lazy and keep using Retrofit, because yeah, I know how I was working, and yeah, I'm lazy. So I think I've used it really a long time ago, and probably it's changed everything. So I don't know how well it's compared to Retrofit, but it's, for as I can see, it's really good and it's working really well. But I have to try it, and I want to try it, and also because I'm on all the multi-platform things that I've done, I never done network. So that's probably the main reason why I still haven't used, but yeah, I'm gonna try it soon because yeah, if the server part is so good, I guess that also the client part is so beautiful and easy to use.
Yeah. As we don't have any further questions, I try to come up with some questions from my side. And to the rest of you, please keep on asking. And if we go off air, still stick with us in the From Mobile to Backend with Kotlin room, and we are happy to discuss your questions. Yes. This is the whole topic is interesting because I see from time to time where especially mobile developers jump onto Kotlin Slack and ask for how can they approach the server-side development. So what is your experience with people coming to you, or how is it perceived in your company? Is it because you're especially interested in this, or is this more all of you are doing it and you just picked it up as well?
For me, it was that I picked it up during my last job experience, and I picked it up mainly for reasons because there was not basically there was not any more people doing backend, and we were in a startup, so yeah, startup fields, and I decided to pick it. They asked me if I wanted to pick it up, and I said, well, it's Kotlin, I'm curious, so why not? And I started picking up basically, and yeah, it's different for me. As an engineer, I enjoy both, but I still prefer the front end and the mobile thing because I want to physically see and that the user physically see the stuff that I build. That is fascinating also the backend, and I really enjoy not having an emulator to run to try stuff, but just write tests and go for that.
I feel you, definitely, yes. Did you have any experience with other frameworks like Quarkus or Spring? Or why did you pick
No, I have experience with another old framework that is similar to Spring, but I don't remember it. Every time its name. Micronaut? It's every time Micronaut? I forgot about it.
Micronaut, any chance?
No, it was the logo as a magician, and
yeah. Anyways, it's okay. Now I can't recall, but I think I know what you mean. Okay, fair enough. Yeah,
the only one that doesn't remember the name.
yeah, no worries. So Kator was just a epiphany for
you. Kator, yes. And and the project that we had that was already existing used this